This is Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with this month's Read With Me author interview. Our May selection is the latest novel by Kristen Oakley. God on Mayhem Street is the sequel to Carpe Diem, Illinois, which features intrepid reporter Leo Townsend. Kristen, it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Dan. Thanks for having me back.
When we see Leo Townsend again, it is right after his mother's funeral. I think the best way to get into this book is for you to read from the opening chapter, and we'll talk after that.
Sounds good. Leo Townsend clenched the flowers in his hand when he spotted his father hunched over a grave a dozen yards away. He had hoped he wouldn't see Frank Townsend until the funeral lunch, when the house would be full of mourners and avoiding him would be easy. But more than that, Leo wanted to be alone to say goodbye. He smoothed his rumpled black suit and forced himself to walk on the gravel path past crumbling, century-old headstones to the newer section of the Merritt's Landing Cemetery, where the crosses gleamed white in the early afternoon sun and plastic flowers stood sentry. When he stepped onto the grass, still damp from the earlier rains, water beaded on his Italian loafers. He didn't bother to wipe them off. He didn't care if the moisture ruined the handcrafted leather. His mother would have been horrified if she were alive. Leo slowed as he approached his father. Frank stood alone by the mound of fresh dirt, staring vacantly at the Isabella Renata Salvatore Townsend funeral program in his hand. Frank's six-foot frame seemed to have shrunk from grief. The sleeves of his borrowed black suit covered his hands. The pants were too long, the cuffs, like Leo's shoes, damp. When Frank noticed Leo, his vacant eyes filled with rage. "You walked out of the funeral!" Lines etched his forehead and his jaw clenched. "You didn't attend the graveside service. How dare you dishonor your mother?" Tears in his eyes magnified his grief. Leo knew that no matter what he said, his father wouldn't hear him. So he studied the grave, trying hard not to think of his mother buried under 6 feet of dirt. "You couldn't be bothered with the funeral arrangements, attending the wake," Frank continued. The yellow narcissus and white crocuses trembled in Leo's hand. He'd wanted red poppies to complete the bouquet, but the florist near O'Hare didn't carry them, so she tied a red ribbon around the flowers instead. At this time of year, crocuses, narcissus, and poppies carpeted the gentle slopes of the Castelluccia di Noccia near his mother's Italian hometown of Noccia. She had wanted to take her children there, treat them to prosciutto di Noccia, black truffles, and lentil soup, attend a mass with them in the Basilica of San Benedetto, and run with them through the plain when it exploded in color. But that never happened because the farm kept the Townsend shackled to Endeavor, Wisconsin.
Shortly after Leo returns to Chicago, he has the biggest interview of his reporting career. Presidential candidate Griffin Carlisle is the nation's first openly gay person running for the White House, the first who's actually in the lead. Carlisle asked Townsend to do this exclusive interview, and Leo is expecting Carlisle to identify his partner, the man who would be the nation's first gentleman. Well, about a minute into the interview, Leo's brother Eddie calls to say that their dad had a heart attack. The interview's over. Leo drives to a hospital in Madison, Wisconsin to see his dad, and then the story moves back to the family farm in Endeavor. This town where Leo was raised is now run by a man named Jacob Landry. Jacob is a pastor who owns most of the local businesses. He's a self-righteous man who has designs on the Townsend family farm, ostensibly to build a mega church. Now, for reasons that I'll let the reader discover, candidate Griffin Carlisle comes to Endeavor, Wisconsin, to finish his interview with Leo. This puts the Townsend family farm at the epicenter of the national debate between same-sex marriage supporters and fundamentalist Christians who oppose it. This can be tricky for a writer who wants to make a story compelling by showing the high stakes involved, yet relatable on a personal level. How did you decide to navigate that fine line?
Well, I have some friends that are homosexuals, so I know what they've gone through. So I wanted to bring that across in a lot of different ways. But I also am sympathetic to people who are opposed to that lifestyle, that it just goes against their religion. So I thought bringing in a whole national perspective of how this would be in the White House, how would this work, how would this man travel around the world and deal with leaders that's illegal or it's outlawed in their countries, and also on a personal level, how do you deal with it on a daily basis? And then not only coming out to your family, but coming out to a whole nation. All of those I thought was a really good blend of how we can get the emotions going. And hopefully I portrayed that enough that whatever side you're on, you feel empathy for the characters.
Kristen, last year you were the featured guest for a WNIJ book club. And you mentioned there is an actual town of Endeavor, Wisconsin, and you went there.
Yeah, that was really interesting. When I had written the first book, I mentioned Endeavor, Wisconsin, and I liked the name of the town, not realizing that it actually is a real town. And so my editor said, we need to go visit this town. My town in the book is about 1,500 to 2,000 people. The real Endeavor, Wisconsin has about 450 people. It's near the Portage Dells area, so it's a beautiful area of the state. But it's a very bizarre little town. The people are wonderful. In the middle of the town, there's a hill, a giant hill, and at the top of the hill is this, looks like a factory. It's all brick. It was boarded up. It was broken down. It felt like a Stephen King novel. And it overlooks the whole little town. And then as you drive down through the town, there's also an abandoned church that looks like it was built in the 60s. It's got the colored windows and everything. In their backyard, which is a full city block, there's a 16 or 20-foot shrine to Our Lady of Guadalupe. Well, in talking to people and doing research, I found out that they had migrant workers, and so that shrine was for them to worship. So none of that comes into the novel, although I did a lot of research on the town itself, so there is some historical references. Maris Lanny, for instance, was the name of the actual town before they changed it to Endeavor. You know, it's kind of fun to know that. I actually went to a book signing at their library. We had a great turnout. It was fun talking about their little town.
Well, Kristen Oakley is the author of God on Mayhem Street. At WNIJ.org, you can see a video of her reading another excerpt from this book. Kristen Oakley, thank you so very much for coming in today.
Thank you so much, Dan.